Who's up first?
Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, February 8, 2018, and we're meeting this morning at BCC Conference Room for our County Administrative Workshop. Present are Commissioner Simon Hammer, Commissioner DeYoung. Commissioner Morgan is away on assignment. And first up this morning, we will have item 1A as Community Development Director, Julie Smelter. And we'll be discussing, do you want to start with A1, Nuisance Ordinance Enforcement?
Yes, I do. Mike Weber was going to try and be here today to talk with us as well.
You guys got to stop hanging out if you're getting sick like that.
I know.
It's terrible.
He was trying to convince me to get a flu shot, and I should have listened to him. But, so the board was discussing early in the fall what to do about the nuisance ordinance, and I believe there was no conclusion on it, so Mike and I decided to discuss it. In a nutshell, the nuisance ordinance is known as the garbage ordinance, and it's enforced by the Environmental Health Department, which is part of public health. What has happened in the past is they have not enforced it. So the garbage keeps accumulating. People are very upset. They keep calling in. And Mike and I got together and said, how can we handle this? And Mike said that he talked to his staff, and you know, they admitted they hadn't been going on sites or anything. So we thought what would work is if all of the complaints on that type of stuff, so you have your rural land development complaints, you have your building safety complaints, and you have your nuisance warning complaints, if they're all coming in to Denise, and she is then filtering them out to staff. So we're looking at taking that code enforcement division and actually making it more like a three-person team. So we have Denise already. We just advertised for a code enforcement administrator to help with the RLDC and the cannabis. But then taking this nuisance person, which is technically a public health employee, and having them sit under Denise and kind of take instruction from Denise, you're going to go out and look at this one, you're going to report back to me, and have it structured such that that person is responsible for anything health and safety related. So these compounds, as you know, we have a lot of compounds. Denise takes the charge on those because those are very controversial and tough cases. But as far as somebody driving out there, checking to see if they're still there, give that to that public health employee, not any of the garbage and safety ones, so that we can actually do something about this.
What was that word you said before, garbage and safety?
Public health. Anything public health.
Who handles the garbage ones? Because Denise is doing the compounds, and you're sending the person out to do the inspections of the compounds.
Right.
And then you said something relative to garbage.
And this person would also do the garbage.
Okay.
What we need to do is actually have somebody doing the garbage. It's getting worse.
It's becoming a category all on its own in my mind.
Well, it's always been. The person in that position hadn't been doing the job properly. So I'm wondering about why the need for the restructuring before we've tried having the right person in that position. And I'm not opposed to this at all. I think your explanation is, I want to say, 10 times better than this write-up. I don't know who did this, but...
I did.
Well, I think you were probably not feeling stellar, because I read it, and then I read it again, and I'm like, I still don't get it, and I think of myself as fairly, you know, I understand these things. I've been around for a little while. Your explanation is perfect. It seems to make sense. I see it structurally in my mind. One of the things that I was going to ask to help me out with this was to get an org chart. Where are we? Who's working for who?
Yeah.
And how is it all structurally coming together? I do believe that much like putting building and safety under one umbrella, mm-hmm. it does make sense to have somewhat of a code enforcement element. Everybody talking to one another, because there are elements of these cases that overlap. And they're not all. In fact, if we could have some sort of an element of DHS in the room talking about, you know, the human element of what's going on, or animal control, all of those players need to be talking to one another, because there's usually instances of neglect and abuse, not just for kids, but also for animals. And so these people are not taking care of their property, themselves, their kids, their animals, their neighborhood. It's bigger than just any one of these issues, so...
So the way it works right now, we're very fortunate with Denise because she is a mandatory reporter because of her background. So right now when she does come across cases, she is reporting them to DHS and bringing in these other people.
Yeah.
So that's good. We do have a lot of coordination on that.
Great.
One of the other good things with pulling this person to I'll say housed under Denise, is Sheriff Daniels' department has been very cooperative. Deputy Simon, he comes out with Denise. I know they're going out on Friday on a bunch of compounds. And so this is another one on those really tough cases. We'll at least have law enforcement back up on some of them as well, too. But
I think that was the intent of what we did 2 months ago with appropriating some of those revenues from cannabis, the tax locally and state collected, to those programs. Is there, in here, you have 25% coming from that. Is there money left over? I haven't had a chance to chat with Arthur. I got on a conference call this morning.
I did go through this with Arthur, and Mike and I looked at our budgets, and Dave put together the cost of all the funds and everything. We are asking that building safety kick up a little bit more towards Denise's salary. Building safety has said all along that they would, because they've seen a real benefit with the work that she's been doing and how we're structuring things. With the cannabis, we'd still be okay. We're asking you to fund this, though, based on funding from the Solid Waste Fund. So the public health employee is a new employee. Planning would be giving 10% of the salary, but 90% of it is public health, so it is a new employee.
Well, there was an employee in there getting solid waste funds for their position.
Right. That employee...
Need an org chart.
Yeah, that employee is an environmental health inspector, so they're doing the restaurants and all that other stuff. They have two people doing that. One of those was also supposed to be doing the garbage, but never did. So the garbage just hasn't been addressed.
What do we do? I mean, trying to picture who does what, but what do we actually do? That's what's frustrating to me. We've got all these people going out looking, and they do this. At what point in time do we say enough's enough? We're going to go out with solid waste money or whatever, and actually clean it up.
Okay.
And I mean, if you can't convince the people to clean it up, because some people just don't know, maybe they don't know any different. They've always lived this way, so they have no idea what not having Coke cups all over in the car looks like.
Right.
You know, so how do you train? What do? You send letters, and I've heard letters and citations and 60 days and 90 days and 120, then another set of letters. None of that's working.
I'm glad you brought
this. What do we do that works?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is one of my contentions with the program, is that there is no teeth. So when you look at, and I'll divide it into the ordinances, when you look at the Rural Land Development Code, we send letter after letter after letter because the people have voted down a citation ordinance.
Right.
I say it's time to bring the citation ordinance back because I think the public has had enough of it. I think they would support a citation. On the public health and safety related ones, such as the compounds, we're bringing those to the board, and the board has authorized legal to go after those, so we do legal action.
What is that legal action as it stands today?
Like a summons and complaint.
Citations again?
No, it's like a summons and complaint, judge order to clean up your property. If you don't, we go out and clean it up. Liens on the property.
Well, they're held in contempt of court and all of that.
So that's with the compounds.
But that's not, it doesn't have to be just limited to the compounds. We can do that for any of the violations. And we've taken people all the way for other solid waste stuff that isn't a compound. It's just a house, and they've got a lot of trash, or they've got animals that are in there, or any others. So it doesn't just have to be limited. It's probably more expeditious to do a citation, but I would challenge the political willness. There are certainly people on both ends of that spectrum pretty adamantly, and it's usually those who are opposed to it don't have it as a challenge to their neighborhood or themselves, and so they don't see that there's a need for it. They would look at the alternative and say the county needs to go through that judicial process that we currently do, but that's long, it's arduous, it's not dynamic, and as soon as they clean it up, we've had this situation where it finds itself reoccurring time and time again. It's not a long-term sustainable thing for little stuff like that.
Well, and that is one of the things with actually having somebody enforcing the nuisance ordinance is when they see the property slipping again, they can contact the owner again, you know. With the nuisance ordinance, it's different, though, because they can actually assign, and I'm not quite sure how this works, but they assign a county employee to be receivership, basically, to use solid waste dollars to then clean it up. So there is a little bit more teeth in that. The problem is we haven't been enforcing it. We haven't been getting to that point.
What I would like, part of my concern is that you say we haven't, we have not. You're absolutely right in that we haven't really. There was a time years ago when part of it did work. It's not totally inherently flawed if you have the right person in the job. So I'm worried that we're trying to fix something that we haven't given a good shot for something that used to work. My thought is that I don't know that we're going to solve this today as part of the liaison for that program isn't here. But I do feel like you're absolutely right, that there's a growing problem. It isn't like when I was growing up as a kid in an occasional place that had a problem out in the county. It's becoming epidemic. More and more so of a problem where people.
Well, to the citizen, it's affecting property values. Mm-hmm. You know, the gentleman that was in my office yesterday, he goes, "Hey, I live right down the road. People come out to look at my place, and they have to go buy three or four of these in a row. They go, I'll go find another place that I don't have to. You know, I don't have to go through Harlem to get to Long Island or whatever. You know, it's just in that." What's troubling, and like I say, when you try to get something going, the will of the people go, oh, all of a sudden you're telling people how they have to live. Well,
yeah, the extreme is sold as to why it won't work rather than the norm or how to make it work and stuff. What I would hope that we could do on this one is to revisit it like next Tuesday. If you could do an org chart about how you're looking to kind of separate stuff out and then really refine the revenues. I don't see on the first one. I think I'm looking at two because I don't see the solid waste being referenced here. And maybe that would be clear. Is it the last one?
It is the last one.
Okay. So it's public health / solid waste.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's public health, but then they would apply for the solid waste dollars to fund their employee.
When we get pushback on this nuisance stuff, have we ever taken that person in the car and said, you need to come with me, I want to show you something, you tell me if this is exactly what you're talking about?
There would have been an opportunity to do that, and I don't want to go down memory lane, but we had two commissioners who were adamant that this is going to pass, there's no problem with what we have as a proposal, we've done our due diligence. We're right. We don't need to blah, 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 take people in a car and expose them to this is the scenario. They just did it, and it was shot down 80-90% and forevermore. That will be touted
That's too big a lift. That's too heavy a lift. You're never going to swing that needle.
Well, you didn't take the time. You didn't step back and say, okay, well, what are your concerns, like we did with the levy and the marijuana ordinance and some others, and say, okay, let's listen to the both sides here. Yeah. It was just heavy-handed. And it went down in flames, justifiably so. It's not the right way to do it.
But I was wondering
if we could do it the right way.
If we can get some of the loudest voices in the room against, you know, personal property rights, and just say, can you come in here? We want to take you on a field trip. We'll have a box lunch, and we'll set up one of the parks.
There's four of them.
There's about four of them. We get them in it. We say, okay, this is what we want you to see what we're looking at.
Yeah. Tell us how to fix it.
Yeah, and then let's, you know, over a box lunch in Schroeder Park, sitting down there, and then with the wind blowing through the trees, let's just hash this out and see what you've seen the morning. Tell us what you think we should do about it. How would you address this if you were sitting in our shoes?
I think that's a great idea.
And I think, you know, if we can get those four people, if there's four really strong voices, and just say, I get all the personal property. I don't like people telling me what color to paint my car. I don't like people telling me what shrubs are supposed to be. This isn't to that extent. This is in response to complaints that we have, and we need you to go see what Denise is looking at. What does Denise see? And take these case studies, and we've got some dandies out there. You know, Cloverlawn, there's a whole list of them. She's got them.
Right.
And if we take them around a little field trip, I think also I'd say, now I'm at a loss here. Because, you know, I'm prepared to get beat up politically, but however, not for the reasons you people are getting. I don't mind getting beat up for something that's a little borderline. This isn't. And you've seen that this morning. Tell me, what do I do? So maybe we can do that. So we're moving forward before we get too heavy-handed.
Well, we'll come back and visit it on Tuesday and discuss that further.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. Okay, item 2, excuse me, 1A2 is economic development request for Habitat for Humanity.
Okay, I brought this forward to you because we had budgeted $75,000 to help with low and moderate income housing. We had budgeted for incentives.
Was it listed as low and moderate income, or was it housing?
It was low, moderate income housing. Actually, I do have that here. Just give me a second.
It's just, I know that there's a lot of focus on that, but housing in general is an issue in the county, and it doesn't all have to be solved just monetarily. I don't want to get distracted from the beginning because, I mean, I think I endorse your proposal.
It was workforce housing.
Workforce housing.
Workforce housing was
I think that's key. I don't think I would have approved just low and moderate income. It's everybody in the spectrum. I mean, we've got doctors commuting in from Medford who can't find a place, but we also have low-income people who are looking for places and they can't find them either. So, you know, single moms and that sort of deal.
Yeah, so the problem was the lack of affordable housing for current residents.
Yeah.
Solution, increase opportunities for affordable workforce housing.
Perfect.
And the goal was partner with an agency skilled in leveraging public funds, grants, and in development of workforce housing.
Great.
Create a minimum of 10 units per year. So we have an opportunity where Habitat for Humanity has an opportunity to build a multifamily complex of approximately 50 units, but they need to do the site preparation so then they can, once they have the site prep done, they can then leverage that for the funds to actually build the units.
Where is this located?
I believe it was on
1.8 acres.
Redwood Highway, Redwood Avenue.
Redwood Avenue?
Mm-hmm. 1.88 acres. And so what this would do is this would help prepare the site work so that they can have that ready and then get the money to actually put up the units. So what I've asked is that we take our 75 and this is what we spend it on, but challenge the city that it's contingent on the city matching the 75.
So it would be, okay, so it'd be 150 total to get the site work started.
Right.
Has there been any movement as to changing requirements for low-income housing and so on and so forth?
Oh,
talking
God,
about
yes.
efficiencies and standards.
You're talking about the text amendments?
Building standards.
Yeah,
yes,
building standards.
Definitely. I have 16 pages, Dan.
Okay. And if you would like, and I'll give you just an example, JD's department's over on D Street. That's all low-income housing. It was built back in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. Early 70s, had baseboard heaters, 3-bedroom, 1-bath apartment with baseboard electric heaters, very warm and dry. Everybody's, oh, you build something like that, they'll just destroy it. It's still there today, 50 years later. It's nobody knows that it's assisted living or whatever, you know, subsidized housing. Nobody knows anything. The people that live there, the little kids sitting out at the stop bus stop are clean, they're neat, their mom is waiting for them, so on and so forth. I see nothing wrong with that, but it was built really, really on a budget to get people dry and warm. And it's still there today, and I can tell you it works because Pam and I lived in there in 1973 because we fell into that category. And it, boy, it was like a godsend to us at that time. Right. We were living in a little house up on Washington Boulevard that needed to be torn down back then. So
why don't you guys talk about those efficiencies and text elements and stuff? Because you've got it dialed in. I don't know much about
it. I just wonder if there's movement on that, and I appreciate the fact
there
you've
is.
Got some pages that...
Sure.
And I think if we keep pushing on that, we can get that $220,000 per apartment down to something that because Bill Lovelace, who's built a million of these things, he says, I can't do it anymore.
Right.
I can't do it. He says, the return on investment is so far down the road that I'm not going to do it.
Well, now they have to put solar panels on everything. And
yep.
It's just like...
Yep. And it's got a price so far out of the market that you are not, you can no longer provide shelter. And that's, I think, where we're really missing the boat. So maybe, you know...
We'll talk about what's being proposed
yes,
right now.
I'd love to see what your deals are on that.
So, does the zoning allow... I mean, is this... What I think we need to make sure that this is a viable project from every standpoint, that there are potential funders out there. What I don't want to do is almost, like, fund the base development.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid to use the word Paradise Ranch. You know, investing... $12.5 million or $20 million in something that you're not going to get that other half
So you want to see a guarantee, some guarantee that if we expend the funds, or if we commit the funds, they're going to have those matches.
And this is inside the city limits?
Yes.
So one thing that we make sure that the city building and safety is on board, that they're not going to get halfway through this and go, oh, by the way, we forgot to tell you about our new storm drain utility fee and SDC that because you're building, you know, you got so much roof now and it's not permeable or whatever it is, so therefore... And they're going to take all these dwelling units
and assign up.
And they're going to count it as four people per deal and the sewage charge. Before you know it, you price yourself clear out of the market. Because I would like to know, and I'm sure Habitat for Humanity has done this before, but make sure that they have all their costs written and signed before you can get started on it.
Sure.
So that they don't get started, as you say, putting good money and find out that, gosh, we'll never get there.
So we'll come back with a more accurate budget. I mean, you know, this is introducing it. I'm glad to hear you're receptive to it and that you want more information about it. So we'll come back. It won't be Tuesday. It'll take them a while.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I think we are receptive to it.
I have no problem. I just want to make sure that there aren't any holes out there that you'll step in later on after we pony up 75 and the city ponies up 75. We got an investment of 150. And then find out that, oh, boy, that new storm drain fee is just going to really, you've got to pay that up front because of so many people.
Can I also get an assessment of what is our current low-income capacity within Grants Pass, and what is our goal?
Inside the city?
Inside the city. I think that's probably the place we have. We don't have low-income.
Not outside.
Publicly funded, structured areas outside the city limits. But I'm just wondering, like in my neighborhood on Fruitdale, there's a 180-unit thing down the road next to where I live. There's a 50-unit deal. You know, there's other places in the city. What if our population's 36,000 and we have 1,200 of these units or 40 of these units? What is our goal? Are we looking for something? And I mean, I don't. At some point, we're going to say, we have plenty of that. What we don't have is X, Y, or Z.
And single family.
We did that evaluation when we did the urban growth boundary about these kinds of lands and these kinds of places. And the other consideration that for people who are going to be here longer is there's an element in the city's code for a distribution of this. You should not cite yourself with areas that is, oh, on that side of the tracks is where you put the low-income housing. That's actually against state law. That you can't contribute to just those low-income areas. And so you've got to have that element distributed. That was one of the arguments that I had for when they put it in. There's hundreds of low-income units down off of Fruitdale, and it's becoming that low-income area. And there's efficiencies to it, but there's also drawbacks. And it's not right for a society to do that kind of from a public funding standpoint. Just a consideration.
I think they mostly go into cities because they have the utilities are available.
Oh, for sure. And the transportation infrastructure and access.
50-unit apartment house on a septic system.
Access to stuff, it just makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway. I'm not against it, but I wonder, you know, $75,000 of our county money going to something that's going to benefit the city. So, you know, in the form of... It all goes. It's going. We're helping them, I guess. So I wonder if there's. Well, maybe there'll be some reciprocal down the road somewhere.
Well, and that's why I do mention the match. It is so. These are lottery dollars, you know, and we're supposed to be creating the jobs with them. And there's a lot of data out there on, you know, if you provide the housing and people feel more secure and then they work and all of that
they
social
get their feet
aspect
under them, and then they go and buy a place in the county. That's where the deal is. Yeah, no, I think but it also should be transitional. This is not somebody, you know, workforce housing. It's not somebody who's getting in there and in 10 years they're pulling down 60 grand and they're still paying $350 a month.
Yeah.
That's not okay with me. And I'm almost sure, based on the kind of cars that are running into my neighborhood, Jackson County Housing and Authority, half of them are better than what I'm driving. And I'm like, really? Huh. Kind of interesting. So...
That was the issue I had with the lodge over in Bend. You come in, and they never checked on you again. I mean, this place rivals Sun River. And I said, I really had to draw it as it being subsidized housing for low-income individuals. I had to draw the line when, during the tour, we went down to the heated subterranean garage. And I'm not joking about that. I said, are you out of your mind? And I asked the guy, so when do you check? Do you have spot checks in a year to make sure he's not a pharmacist at Walgreens now? You caught him when he didn't have any money, when he was clear out of money and moved to Bend. So you put him in, him and his family in there. Do you ever check on him again? I said, no, once they're in. That bothered me.
Well, this
no
is
oversight
a,
whatsoever.
This is a Habitat for Humanity program, so there is a different model there.
Oh, yeah, they vet these people.
Right. We're receptive.
Yeah. Okay.
Go we're receptive.
Go. Go get some information. Also, a recommendation from the Housing Council would be probably a good thing.
Okay,
so then we're moving on to, and Larry, do you want to come up with this one?
Sure.
The Illinois Valley Fire Suppression. So this was also in our budget. We had budgeted, so let me get a little background. Out at the Illinois Valley Airport, there is an industrial park. It is almost fully developed with infrastructure.
I need to stop you one second. On item A2, Simon, Commissioner Hare, you okay with moving that forward to the WBS?
No, she's going to answer some questions and
she's going
to
get
to the board.
At a future date.
If that's okay.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Got it. I just needed to clarify that. Okay, we're now to A3, Economic Development Request for Fire Suppression, Illinois Valley Industrial Park.
Correct. So at the Illinois Valley Airport, there is an industrial park at the end, and it was laid out a number of years ago, maybe about 20 years ago, I think.
Yeah, 15 to 20, yeah.
And it has roads laid out in it. It has fire hydrants. It has electric. It was all set to go and divided and developed as an industrial park, but the fire suppression failed. And the county never, my understanding is the county never went back to repair the fire suppression system. So we have this industrial park with infrastructure that is just sitting there unused.
How did it fail?
It never held water.
Yeah,
or
just
you
didn't have a supply of water for the tank.
I think there was an example of when the water was pumped out, the static pressure of the groundwater pushed the liner up, so then you couldn't fill it
back up. Again. Yeah.
So it would just run out everywhere.
Yeah. There's a number of issues that are easily dealt with, but to expand a little bit on the background, there was a rural development grant from Department of Agriculture of over $500,000, I believe, back in about 1990 or in the early 90s, to develop an industrial park inside the airport property there. And there was a follow-on grant a few years later, and at some point, and I don't know the history of this, but there was a decision made at the commissioner level to stop throwing money into that and abandon it. And so at that point, the pond would, you know, fill up with rainwater and then evaporate and dry out. And the liner was exposed to sun dry all summer. And after a couple of years probably of that, it just cracked and deteriorated.
Originally, the board elected not to hire a hydro engineer to design the fire suppression reservoir. They thought they could just dig a hole. And in a lot of places, you can just dig a hole and it'll hold water. But that O'Brien area is not like anywhere else. It's really unique, very different. And it doesn't look like it's on a slope, but the topography actually is, it's complicated. And yeah, they elected not to put any more money into to finish it. And it was just, you know, that last hurdle. But for that, you probably have tenants out there. My dad actually built the platform for the dedication. My grandfather was like the MC at the ceremony where the state representatives and people were there to dedicate, you know, just the ground, not any of the infrastructure. This is back in, like, the 60s. Hmm. So this has been a long time coming.
What's the plan now? Is it tanks
hire an engineer?
We have our engineer of record, Precision Approach Engineering, which comes along with a five-year contract, and we've signed
right,
now
just
2 years ago.
Retainer
exactly, and so they're doing a little a small task order for us. It's going to cost me about $5,000, and they're doing an engineering study. They actually have a pond expert on staff, lined pond, etc. So, and they talked about the fact that you can put UV protected liner on top of the waterproof liner to protect that liner, and or the lining of the pond, and it's they're going to produce within the next 2 weeks, actually, a plan with some rough order magnitude estimates of cost and schedule to get that pond online, and to do several other things which would be required before we can put the first manufacturing facility out there. And I got a guy standing in the wings, Wolf Emmons, who wants to put a manufacturing facility on the airport for light sport aircraft.
Nice.
And he's lining all this up at the same time. And I told him, well, you know, show me your business case. But I mean, there's some energy behind
flying around right now.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's bringing a plane back from
beautiful plane.
Yeah. You saw that. Yeah.
So Wolf's my family forever.
My question is: a pond has evaporation in the summertime, which is huge because of the surface area. How much water is in the pond that you need capacity versus saying, I'm going to put four big tanks out there and the water stays in the tank?
One of the positives about a tank, too, bigger than evaporation, it doesn't draw in waterfowl, which is right next to an airport. And there's other water-holding ponds that Rough and Ready's got a couple of ponds. You know where the ponds are around.
Sure.
You fly in and out. There's that consideration too. So, are we evaluating all options?
Or a little bit, yeah. And of course, that particular pond, and you'll see it 2 weeks from now when we go out there. There's a fence right up against two edges of that pond, and it's basically right on Airport Drive. So, and I found myself flying in formation with geese before, so I don't want them to be close to the airport. Yeah, we call it wildlife mitigation. But you don't want to create situations that attract deer and geese and whatever else, which are hazards to navigation. So this is not going to do that to a very great extent. It's fairly small. It holds about 125,000 to 150,000 gallons. We have two productive wells right now in that industrial air park, which produce 5 or 6 gallons a minute, but that's enough to continuously refresh that pond even throughout the summer.
What you have to have on reserve, though, is proportional to the space that you're building. So
yeah.
If he builds a first building that's only 10,000 square feet, you don't need to have 125,000. The Tacoma place is 10,000 or less than that.
Right.
We have 2 20,000-gallon tanks
right
up there. So.
Yeah.
That's the fire suppression reservoir. There's a per gallon per square foot required for on demand. And if you build it all out, you got 1 million square feet, then you got to have, you got to have a lot.
Yeah. Now, I met with Dennis Oak and Cameron Ismaili last week to talk about this, and you know he feels strongly that cisterns, you know, the enclosed tanks would be the right answer for that location, just because he doesn't have a lot of faith in the ability of a pond, you know, to last for 10 or 20 years and to hold water.
Looking at the liners, the liners, for instance, that they put along in their catch basins and stuff along I-5 and whatnot, or, you know, if the rocks are all moved aside and it's just a bunch of black plastic blowing around in the intersection. I'll throw this out there because it may sound stupid, but anybody looked at buying, for instance, you know, the truck and trailer tankers that deliver fuel? They have a shelf life and then they're done. They can't haul flammable liquids anymore, but they could certainly haul water, and you could hook one off, and you can have those. If you're going to put a building up, you put two of them alongside and you have a pump there to handle that building.
I've got one at the Illinois or Grants
Pass. It's something that fits right in. You would think, oh yeah, that's a fueling station. Well, it's not. But it would be aesthetically, it wouldn't look out of place. You probably pick them up for pennies on the dollar and utilize them. And they hold, you know, I guess when we were ordering fuel, you know, you'd get, you know, 20,000 of one and 15,000, you know, truck of Chevron and a trailer of Supreme or vice versa. And there was a lot of fuel in one of those things.
They actually have military surplus bladders, which hold, they're 70 feet on a side. And when they're full of water, they're 6 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And I could obtain one of those a few years ago for $10,000 plus shipping to get it to Illinois Valley and lay that inside the pond, okay, which is about 6 feet deep anyway. And so it would be at or below grade level when it was full, and it would provide that whole evaporation and some level of protection against, you know. Yeah.
Well, hopefully your evaluation will come up.
There's a lot of options.
Yeah,
everything evaluated and we're going from there.
So what this request is we had budgeted $100,000 to take care of the fire suppression system this year, and this request is for $5,000 to have that task order completed.
Great.
So how much was it? Again, I was...
$5,000. Of the $100,000 that we had budgeted.
Okay, and that's for the study?
The study, yeah. Okay. Which will point us in the right direction, I think, or at least give us one or two or three viable options.
That's what I would like to see, and scalable.
Yeah, and these guys really know what they're
just
doing.
Just to satisfy the first duck on the pond of 10,000 square feet or whatever Wolf wants to do.
No ducks on the pond, please.
And then you get, you know, plane on the landing pad. And then you go from there, you know, and something that's scalable. I don't want to spend all of the $100,000. We also have $100,000 or something earmarked in the 2020 plan by the repurposing of the Illinois Valley County building for that. They're fully supportive of helping fund that, but... You know, I'd rather it be a joint effort than combining funds and leaving money left over if possible. So
item three, we're okay to move that forward?
I'm prepared for you guys to just go and do it. It's $5,000. You don't need anything.
Okay. We just need the board to sign that form.
Yep, that's fine.
Okay. Moving on to number four is economic development request.
Why does the board have to sign that?
Because you require all economic development requests to come to you.
Would you mind if I made a motion to delegate the liaison to the Community Development Department to sign on behalf of the Economic Development Fund for the appropriation of $5,000 for this project?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, item number four is economic development request for So Ready Edge campaign.
Okay, so you're familiar with So Ready's Edge campaign. Last year they had presented to you some that we funded some that they were going to do. So this past year we did edge campaigns on AllCare, Duralast, Taylor Sausage, and Thomason Hospitality. This coming year they're looking to do the edge campaigns on Climate City Brewing, Auslan Group, Timber Products, Master Brand, and Asante.
And what's the Timber Products?
Where is it?
No, what is it?
Oh.
You said Auslan Group Timber Products. That's
two separate, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Auslan Group, comma, Timber Products. Let me just see here.
What did we do last year?
10.
10 again?
We did 10 last year. Mm-hmm. Right, and these are, you know, you end up... Yeah, and they end up being, you see them in airports, city halls and counties that have room for stuff like this, they display them. It's kind of a thing of pride, but then gets busy. They're available online and in resources.
So Ready uses it as a campaign of, you know, duck on a pond. There are people here doing stuff.
It's a recruitment
just like
tool.
You. So you too can live, work, build your business in Josephine County. At some point, we're going to get fairly saturated. We're going to have a pretty good portfolio. I don't know that the... What is the Edge campaigns? Can you ask that question of what are they doing next? What is...
Sure. What after the Edge campaign?
Well, yeah, I think the Edge campaign shouldn't go on forever. At some point,
you'll just see it.
The portfolio of people expressing the issue that you're here. They're here. You could be here too. What are you doing with that? Would you like? Can I spend $10,000 next year on blah blah blah?
Something different. Something
different.
More effective.
Yep. Maybe it's a billboard on I-5 that we put one of those up, or one changes every 3 months. The existing Edge campaign that we already have, the picture and stuff, where relocate your business to Josephine County, Southern Oregon, and it's down, you know, we're taking precision, whatever, you know, some business, and they just rotate. I don't know.
I just don't
want to keep doing the same thing. We've got a pretty good portfolio of Edge. Josephine County Edge stuff.
I can definitely recommend that.
Right, and people are... is this outside of our... In other words, is some of this in, say, Eugene Airport? Or is it in San Francisco Airport?
I'm not sure all of the airports that it's located
just,
in.
It's just when people arrive here and they're walking down the corridor from getting off the airplane, that's when you see this, and they're sitting in the terminal, you see this.
Getting your luggage is where they're at.
Right. And it says you come in, it's in kind of a hologram, is that what that's called?
Oh, yeah. It's just like panels.
I've seen it in the panels. It's kind of
advertising panels. I'm not sure what they really are.
I didn't know if they had other programs, for instance, if they...
I just don't want to keep doing this forever, and it needs to be doing something
right,
with
right.
I think that's a good
serenity.
Point. That makes sense.
That's something we should bring up, serenity, probably.
We should bring that up at a board meeting.
That's a concern.
I don't think we do enough with billboards. We have how many thousands of people, 100,000 people a day going on I-5, and it's right there.
Yeah.
And we own property next to it, and we have that industrial park, and thanks for getting that cleaned up. But, we should be erecting one at the Sportsman's Park. It's our property, mm-hmm. Putting up a billboard there that says something about Josephine County.
Yeah, Sports Park would be a great one.
Relocate your lease to Merlin Airport, because we've got 30 new hangars for you ready to go.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay, so we're okay with item four moving forward?
Yes.
Okay, well, I
just make a motion, if you don't mind. It's already been approved in the budget and all that stuff, so unless you want to come talk about the Edge campaign at a WBS, but we've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
I'd make a motion to approve the $10,000 appropriation for funding the Edge campaign.
All those in favor?
Yeah. Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item five, economic development request for Southern Oregon Aviation Academy flight.
Can you bring a couple of those panels today during the State of the County address? We have some.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Okay.
I'll find some. Yeah, I'll bring them from the city.
Couple.
They're actually in the board's office.
Right.
Okay. The next one is, I'll let Larry explain. It's a request from the airports department.
Yeah, and this flight that we took, and Commissioner Morgan accompanied us on this flight up to Aurora Airport, just south of Portland. We took with us the STEM coordinator for RCC, Steve Schilling. He was the dean of technical education at Rogue Community College. Caleb LaPlante, who's the chairman for Southern Oregon Air Academy, myself, and Daniela Bevins, who's with the Southern Oregon Educational Services District, and she's the regional director for development. And we flew to Aurora. We met with Jackie Murphy from the Airway Science for Kids program. We met with Dick Van Grunsven from Vans Aircraft. They have a factory right there where they build thousands of aircraft kits and ship them all over the world. Where people build them and fly them. There's over 10,000 of them registered and flying in the world. And he provides a kit aircraft to youth education programs around the country, where high school kids will actually build an airplane over
now,
a two-year period.
Does he charge for that kit, or does he just...
He charges for the kit, but what he does is he has an incentive program where he'll charge the retail price for the kit, but then when the aircraft is inspected and certified and makes its first flight, he rebates 30% back to the program. And then all the kids get a chance to fly the plane, and then they sell the plane, and it funds operations for the following year, and they buy another kit with it, et cetera. That's the kind of thing that happens when you have a really vibrant technical education program for youth, okay? And what we want to do, and what Southern Oregon Air Academy is trying to do, and what I'm trying to do by hosting all of this activity at Grants Pass Airport, is to have the airport become a hub of career technical education for aviation. And we have a severe pilot shortage in the country. It's only getting worse. We need more kids to enter into the program and go on and get... I talked with Kathy Kemper-Pell, the president of RCC, and she promised that they would be developing a two-year aviation tech program so that a kid can go to Rogue Community College and get a two-year degree in aviation technology. And that would include their knowledge test having been passed, for the pilot's license or the commercial pilot's license. We'll have training available at the airport. Anyway, I'm talking about the program itself. The reason why I'm so excited about it is that this trip that these five people made to Aurora and then up to Oregon, to Portland, to talk with the president of Portland Community College, who is a sponsor of their program up there, is that this provided the impetus for the whole Southern Oregon Air Academy to form as a nonprofit corporation, provided all the information that the potential board members needed to get comfortable with the idea that this was doable, that it was a good business case for a nonprofit to get involved with. And it was, at the time, I was going to fly four of us up there in my airplane, which then went down for maintenance and was not available on a short-term basis. And so Dave Traeger, the president of Pacific Aviation, graciously offered to fly us up in their turboprop, which cost him a couple thousand dollars. So my request is to reimburse the cost of that flight, which I think was very important in the formation of this initiative we have with for youth education. And I don't think it would have happened without that trip.
It's 325821.
Correct.
Is that what it is? That's reimbursement to Pacific Air.
Yep, PacJet Charter, actually, which is a subsidiary of Pacific Aviation.
Okay, my question going back to I have a question going. Bill Simon, Chairman.
Go ahead.
Excuse me, Commissioner Gibbon. We've got RCC on board, and you see RCC is excited because they're going to put a program together of, you know, the
aviation
check, flight or whatever, an aviation whatever. I would think, in light of the fact that all of a sudden now they're talking about moving the whole nursing program over to White City, do we get something started here? It's a success. It's a huge success. And they go, whoa, we need to move that over there, and this is all going to move over to the Bedford Airport. Or is there some guarantee that it's going to stay in Josephine County after we get the program up and running, starting, we're known as the hub for these classes and training and whatnot, and then all of a sudden it just moves out again?
Sure. Great question.
That is a good question.
I think that the answer to that question depends on what happens in the next couple of years with regard to capital investment and facilities development at the airport here. Because if we have a hangar, for example, like the one I went to when I went through the aeronautics degree program at San Jose State, they had a dedicated hangar. It was huge. Probably, and I don't want something this big, I don't think it's necessary, but it was probably 50,000 square feet. And half of it was airframe technology, half was power plant technology. They had labs all around the periphery, welding and, you know, all kinds of other things, materials testing. And if there's a facility like that that comes to fruition in the newly prepared area for hangar development at the Grants Pass Airport, and I've been talking with Marta Taranci, Business Oregon, et cetera, and they're interested in things like that, which we could build and provide a classroom for those students to come out and have instruction made at the airport in an airport environment, and it's an immersive thing in aviation, then the answer is they'll stay here. Why send all of our students over to Medford?
I'd rather start drawing from Medford, because Medford Airport would be so busy you'd probably never get them. You never get a time in and out. You wouldn't be able to have the small town feel of saying, you know what? I mean, I can sit around out there for an hour and not have a plane land or take off.
That was exactly the fate of the San Jose State University program, which was located at the San Jose Metropolitan Airport when I was there in the 70s. It's not there anymore. It's gone. Because San Jose International Airport has pushed it out, and it's you have too many structural issues. You got security and, you know, Part 139, TSA, DHS, all the stuff, and you got people coming and going inside the airport. It's not practical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Commissioner, I do think that if we can get to the point where businesses in Oregon, they're interested, and I think if they can, you know, they're willing to partner, and they're talking about investing, and if we can get them to that point, I think we have more of a guarantee that it's staying here and that it's not going to be moved away.
So it's a question that the answer is in process.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where does this, it's pass through funds, where does this money come from? 3259, what pot of money?
Economic development funds.
Economic development.
Lottery dollars.
Yeah. Does that sound something reasonable to you, Commissioner Hare?
I have serious concerns. I think the first one is the ethics element. So Commissioner Morgan took this flight as a commissioner, and there are restrictions about receiving, you know, kinds of... it's not considered necessarily a gift, but...
Is it honoraria?
I don't know.
Some sort?
You don't just take these things from the private sector that has a quasi-benefit to the private sector as a result of some sort of a meeting. You just can't do that. So I'm not so sure that there isn't a potential violation here. I think it probably isn't for an employee, because that person is doing what's within their scope of their job, and it isn't benefiting you in any way. You're hired to do this. She's elected. So there's quasi, did she qualify this as some sort of a contribution or what have you? I don't know the answers to this. This is kind of a gray area, and I'm not looking to get anybody in trouble by that, but I think, you know, if we don't pay for this, if we paid for it, then it's fine, and there isn't a potential for a violation. If we don't, then there could be, in my mind, and I don't know, and I don't want to put anybody at liability. The other one is I want to know actual costs. I don't want this person being able to say that, well, the flight would have cost $2,000, but I'm charging you $32 is blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you're doing that, but you'd mentioned that it cost him several thousand dollars to do this flight. Yeah. He was willing to do it first off on his own, and my thought would be that, at the very least, this person went out of his way, was very philanthropic, and doing this and has the best, I mean, I think those people have the best intentions for the airport and are willing to do stuff out of their back pocket to help the community at large, which is great. We don't want to take away from that. But what I might say is, like, maybe we'll cover half of actual costs or full actual costs, or maybe RCC covers half of actual costs and we cover the other half. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make this more complicated than it is because it's not a lot of money, but I don't want things like this starting to happen where there's an interest in something and it's in Reno and we just fly down there and, oh, it does pan out. I want to think about this strategically. We don't do this.
We don't do it very often.
We've never done it since I've been here.
I mean, this is something that just came up at the last moment.
Oh, totally.
And it was, I mean, there was really no ability to plan for this.
I don't think so.
And because I think due diligence would have been performed to answer all these questions.
You know? I'm going to ask a question because I have to.
Sure.
Is this something that he offered to do and then we thought, you know what? What a nice guy. We offered to pay him.
No, so I went to him.
He actually put in a request for $32.59.
I have an invoice from him, but that was after the fact. I said, what's it going to cost? I mean, we need to do this. Can we do this? Can you provide the resource, et cetera? And he said, you know, whatever you need, just do it. Okay, now, we did that, and then I said, I need you to tell me what your costs and what your, you know, what the price of the flight would be. And there's a margin in there. It's not much. And so I have all that information, and I can provide that to you. Yeah. But I went to him. I mean, I called him up and I said, we got to get up there. We have this meeting set. The wheels came out from underneath our transportation. You know, can you help us?
Yeah. What a guy. Great.
Really good guy. I mean, I think, honestly, we'll all benefit from this. And so
that's not the question.
I know. And it's really the question you want to avoid because he's not trying to gain,
It's all part of the bigger picture, but we don't want somebody singling out this little part and destroying the big picture.
Right.
I think that's the way to look at it. So,
well, that's our job. That's our job, is to look at that big picture and see how it fits and make sure that it dovetails really well.
This was not unsolicited. I mean, I went and
I don't have any problems with your whole aviation program out there. I think it's fantastic.
I think the other concern is that we do need some Southern Oregon air assurances. I know that there's nothing in this, but there was an article in the paper in the Mail Tribune, and then there was some follow-up by people in the Southern Oregon Air Academy talking to, you know, about expanding the program into Jackson County, and I just want... You know, their whole, everybody's mission on the Southern Oregon Air Academy right now, same thing with RCC when it was inception, and they got 52 cents a thousand, was Josephine County. I just want something like in the mission that this is what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And then in order for it to branch out and move locations after we've invested, you know, cost-benefit analysis of a free lease at 210 Tacoma is what we're considering. That's not chump change.
No.
And, you know, if it's just going to jump over there.
I want some sort of a guarantee that we don't get the program up and running and, boy, it's popular and the whole world's looking at Josephine County and then all of a sudden.
Take all the risk.
Josephine's not there. We take all the risk and put in all the infrastructure, build your pie in the sky, but build your 50,000 square foot facility that takes into the welling element of it and airframe and propulsion stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it just moves. Because Medford has more suction and so on and so forth.
Hmm.
So that would be my only concern. I don't know how you would write a guarantee into that, but I can't see it going there because, as you say, traffic at the Medford Airport is just crazy.
I see a lot of obstacles to it. In other words, if I go over there and talk with Jerry, you know, Burn Cases, and I say, hey, I got this great idea. This is what I want to do right here at Medford. Never going to happen.
Right.
So, I mean, I look at it from that point of view. Now, that's not deep analysis, but
It's not the same style of airport.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
And I think it needs to, you know, you're starting out here. You know,
and if we can get kids coming over here or whatever, Central, it'll be fine. We'll work that out.
Okay, so are we okay with that? Or what's your thoughts moving this forward?
I think I have questions.
Still have questions.
So.
Okay. So.
All right. So we're not going
to
move that.
What
forward.
Can I do
I
to
think
help?
I understand where you're. Well, I want to know what the costs were. So mm-hmm. I would just want to cover actual
breakdown
costs.
Breakdown of the $32.59, I guess.
If there is an ability to, you know, have some skin in the game from RCC, who's really, you know. Let's see it. We're willing to do it, and I think if it's 3,000, whatever, I think we'd be willing to do that, but I just want to see where it's at.
Shake the bushes.
Test the waters. It would be really nice
down.
To get
okay.
something.
Happy to do that.
So the cost of the actual bill from PacJet is included in your packet, and it does show what the ramp fees were and the crew standby flight charges. Larry did provide that. That was forwarded.
He has... Does he have to pay to land up there? Or
yes. yes. He had to pay hundreds of dollars to land and then just sit on the tarmac for 6 hours.
Crew standby.
And then take off. Of course, he's paying his commercial pilot, you know, full-time wages while he's there waiting for us.
I'm gonna ask a really dumb question. Don't take offense to this because I love the miracle of flight and everything, but I could have probably jumped in my car and beat you to Aurora.
I'll take that bet. I'll take that bet.
You don't have to be there an hour.
It was a 47-minute flight. I was on it.
Okay. But why didn't you take your car? Did you not have time to prep for that? Or
No, I mean, it just would have been a matter of leaving at, you know, I don't know, 6 in the morning or something and driving. You know, we had people coming from Klamath and Jackson County, Josephine County. I mean... I know so RCC
they
has.
They get here, we fly there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Everybody assembled.
I'm just asking.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and Larry, the original intent was to take your own plane, and he was going to just donate it. Was his original intent.
And Commissioner Morgan was not going to go on the trip originally, and then suddenly we go from a 4-seat aircraft to a 8-seat aircraft, and it's going with empty seats, and I didn't think about the implications. I simply called Lily and I said, I think it would be important for you to represent. Well, I called her up and asked. Yeah, I know, but
it's our job.
I understand. I should have called you and then had you tell her to go.
No.
Yeah,
it's our job.
But you didn't know about it. I was
do this because there's no blah 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 of it, and
understood
all that stuff. That's
well, she was my liaison, and I just informed her. Hey, we got this situation. Are you interested?
So now that we have the breakdown of charges, are we okay with moving this forward for payment? Commissioner Hare, your thoughts?
I need to think about it.
Okay.
So let's say yes until I say
no. So you want to go to...
Let's say yes until I say no. I think that... I mean, just for me.
If you don't... Okay, so we're going to schedule to the WBS.
Yes.
And unless you pull up.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Right. Do they normally go to WBS?
This was a non-budgeted element, so it's not as... I don't think we have the discretion like those other ones were budgeted.
Maybe a good time to plug the school anyway.
Sure.
The academy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll learn from you what you need, and I'll get that to you. Okay.
Good enough. Number 6, the economic development request for the indoor arena at the fairgrounds. Thank you, Mr. Gray. Appreciate your participation.
Sure.
Coming up will be Peggy Anderson.
Hello.
How are you?
Great.
Are you getting over a cold, getting a cold?
I've had it for a month and a half.
Month and a half cold.
Yep.
Not bad. The new record is set by the fair manager. Okay,
so this is the last economic development request we have for you today, and it was from the Fair Board. It is for the indoor arena at the fairgrounds. You're actually looking at a $40,000 request, which would be $20,000 this fiscal year and $20,000 next fiscal year. This was not budgeted in our economic development profile. However, I did find out from Arthur this week that the board had set aside $20,000 for fair that they have not used yet. And Peggy, maybe you can clarify that, but that was my understanding from talking to Arthur. I'm sorry, not Larry, Arthur.
Historically, we have, this was 5 years ago, Arthur, 6 years ago. Board, statutorily, there's a couple of programs that can get money outright from economic development that are just provided for. It's airports, parks, fairgrounds, and one more I always complaining, of course, community development. I don't always forget planning. Usually I start with planning. They were getting given $40,000. And I said, you know, that's a lot without any kind of, not strings attached, but we don't have the bang for the buck. We don't hear about what that money was doing. So right. We broke it up. You get $20,000, except for airports got a little less. You got 30, which should have been adjusted. So we didn't do that. But I think we've made up the difference over the years. So broke it up to $20,000, and then you would apply for $20,000. It would already be earmarked for you, but you just had to assign it to a specific project that had lasting impact and was more tailored toward job creation. So I think what this application is for applying for that unobligated $20,000 from that hasn't been utilized so far, and maybe the same thing for next year.
Correct.
So that you would obligate 2 years of that unobligated right now with the project.
That is correct.
So it's $20,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For 2 years.
Right.
What's it used last year, and what you're getting ready to use next year? You want?
Well, I haven't used it this year.
You haven't used it this year.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So it was not presented as an expense when we did the economic development budget. You know, a budget hearing we present it. However, it was one of those set-aside pots of money. So they're asking to utilize that money right now for the repair of the indoor arena.
It's basically to get it started.
Yeah.
To get it jump started. And Mary has, because we need matching funds and we'd like to be able to go to Ford Foundation, this was part of the big piece, not only with the Rotary Duck money, but we needed an additional 50. And so the two $20,000 pieces will go towards the 250 that we need totally to go for the Rotary. For the Ford Foundation, as well as getting something started.
Right.
The community's wanting to know when we're going to get going now that we've had all this money that's allocated. That's they want to see something.
Of course, as soon as you even say something, it's
absolutely.
Drove out there, I didn't see anything happening. You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and then because they were under some timelines, Peggy did submit another economic development request, assuming we do the same thing this coming year, so that when the budget passes, we can quick process another $20,000 request
for
they have
year.
That $40,000 within a relatively short period of time.
Right. So that will go towards the match that Ford Foundation needs $250,000.
Correct.
And you had $206,000, I think it was, from Rotary total?
Approximately $200,000 to $206,000.
Okay.
You know, she's.
No, they don't
know.
No,
I mean,
it's 75% of whatever the first year, which is this year, and then 100% for the next 2 years.
Okay.
So we're looking at approximately $200,000, around
great.
In there.
Great. I think another thing that you should probably, and I really want us to talk about this, it's not my decision, but I think forestry would have the capacity to donate, a couple truckloads of logs to get filled up to do that. I think I like the utilization of that natural resource. Here's an example of your resources being repurposed for a benefit of everybody in the community. And I drove around the arena, and it would just look, I think, stunning to have it, all taken off and all put back on with the same style, the 1 foot or 10 inch boards with the 2 inch lap, and it's all stained, a really nice stain, not the stain that was used on the commercial. That doesn't look like wood anymore. It loses that richness, in my opinion.
The wood is not stained.
It's not right.
The wrong color.
And it's not right either.
I wanted natural. I wanted to.
I agree.
It's like
not reddish.
Yeah, it needs to look like it was wood. And
We had no say so
rich.
In that, just so you know.
So you're saying let's take logs off of our land.
Yeah.
Have it milled.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a statement.
Right on the property. They could mill it right there.
Right.
You've got these mobile mill guys that come out and then 2 days.
What a story.
Yeah. You really
what a story.
Absolutely.
Well, frankly,
we're doing
that's
great
probably
things.
Where the siding came from in the first place. It came from Rough and Ready. We probably threw the logs out there and they belched it out like a mill does, and the next thing you know, they're throwing it up on the side of the building. So,
way to be accountable with our resources.
Just the way it used to
be.
Well,
yeah.
And be able to partner with our partners.
Getting that engineering evaluation also, if there's any kind of other timbers, the boards in the, the walkway stuff, it would be great if when they come out, they just tell them what you need. I need 26 tuba sixes, blah, 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 and then they just produce it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Rough saws.
Yeah. Natural.
Good
stuff.
Natural looking.
Good stuff.
Right.
And that can be all part of our match. I mean, the value of that is the market value. What do you have to go? What it costs you to go to Diamond or Home Depot or something like that to go buy that?
Right.
That's the match, not what it costs us to do it, because that's virtually nothing. You know, it's the guy's time at $50 an hour for running the mill, $100 an hour. He can mill a lot of wood in an hour. We've had him out to the ranch.
So that's really exciting to really, just a really thought. Look at that. Oh, I think it's a wonderful thought.
Yeah, talk about a publicity moment. Mm-hmm. Spring County. You know, looks at this, what we're doing.
Yep.
Well, it's just like today. We're doing really good things in our community. Yeah, we really need to be sure we're saying that.
Get the Wall Street Journal out here.
Okay. That one, you can get half now. And we can, you know, do an emotion to intent to award. And why can't we? Can't, it wasn't budgeted. But so we can, I can make a motion for $20,000 with the intent to award $20,000 next year based on, you know, future approval and all of that. I don't think we can obligate something money for next year, but you have the board's intent to obligate.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll second that.
So I have a question on that. So then July 1st, do I have to come back with another request, or can we just pay that knowing that the board's intent was to fully fund $40,000?
I think we're going to address how we handle economic development appropriations through your office that have been approved in the budget in the future.
Thank you.
July 1, the budget will be.
I know, and for everything else, most everything else, it's approved. These things have been coming to the board pretty much at my request, because I wanted to know where the money was going, and mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about it, that it goes someplace else. So we probably relegate that to just the liaison, which won't be me for much longer, and you, the director, to say, yeah, that fits with, or no, have we thought about this? Just a thought.
All right.
Okay, yep. Just move and second it.
Yep.
Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
And so it'll be for next year.
You have it
the
all.
Intent for
the
okay.
intent for 20 next year, because we can appropriate right now 20. 20
for today.
Today.
Okay. Perfect.
And
an intent.
And an intent for next year. 20.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. So that takes us down through item number 6.
Cool. Thank you.
1B, Community Corrections. Nate Guyran. B1 is contract for personal services with Choice Counseling Center in Josephine County Community Corrections. Welcome this morning, Nate.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thanks for having me. We have some exciting news, and this is the byproduct of that news for 3 different contracts. The first contract is funded through the Criminal Justice Commission, and we receive several hundred thousand dollars as a grant through the Criminal Justice Commission. This is a contract of basically pass-through money of $90,000 that we would ask Choices to provide the service for counseling as part of a pro team for the drug court. They do fantastic work over at Choices and in conjunction with the drug court, and you've seen the statistics with the drug court and their effectiveness. So we would just ask that the Board of County Commissioners sign this contract. As far as I know, it's been approved by legal, and it's ready for your approval.
Great.
If you are
this
so inclined.
This is all just pass-through funds?
Yes, sir. Okay. Funded from the Criminal Justice Commission. And that's for Choices. The next item for contract is the Women's Crisis Support Team. This is funding that we secured through the Justice Reinvestment Initiative, and we have $156,874 pass-through funds that we would like the Board of County Commissioners to agree and go into contract with. We just received these funds 2 weeks ago, I think it was, from the Justice Reinvestment, and so that prompted our contract proposal for these funds to go to the Women's Crisis Support Team. They'll be using those things for the ongoing support of victims and housing them, keeping them safe and secure and so on and so forth. Similarly, with the IV Safe House, there's funds for $67,232, and we are prepared to contract with IV Safe House's pass-through funds, and this is, again, through the Justice Reinvestment funds from the Criminal Justice Commission.
Those went through LIPSC, or...?
Yeah, clarification on that. The last two contracts that I proposed did go through LIPSC. It was unanimously approved by LIPSC to recommend the funds to go to the Board of County Commissioners for vote and then be dispersed to the Ivy Safe House as well as the Women's Crisis Support Team.
Yeah, we've had contracts with them before. Is this a deviation? Mm-hmm. This is an increase?
It's a bit of an increase from the last biennium because we, in the supplemental funds, it also had that requirement for 10%. Mm-hmm. And as you know, we got 10% from the original Justice Reinvestment Funds goes to the Victim Services. Well, we got an additional over $1 million for the supplemental, so they got another 10% out of that.
And this is a biennium contract?
Biennium, yeah. It's a biennium contract.
There's another reason to explore the two-year budgeting element. I mean, mm-hmm. I really feel like...
Arthur, stuff comes through on the biennium. It's hard for us to, you know, it'd be some consistency.
When is this effective?
This will be effective. It's actually effective as of July 1st of 2017.
Coming. I see.
And so we're kind of behind a little bit because we just received the funds, so they're going to get an allocation back from July 1st until now, so...
This is January 1st of 17 through June 30th, 19. Is that typo? Should be July 1st, 17? I'm looking in the authorized the board signed the contract for Josephine County Community Corrections and Illinois Safe House.
Yeah, that should be July 1st.
Should be July 1st.
Yeah, okay, should be July 1st. Could you...
Wait,
we'll get that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions on that, Commissioner?
No, I think these are... Consent calendar item.
All three go to consent.
Okay.
Choices does a great job. They do. You want it now?
No, that's okay. I just wanted to make it clear. I can't be here next week,
that's fine.
If that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Your liaison can speak to it.
Okay. I can do it on the 21st.
If we can do it, and you can just... It's a consent calendar
it's
item.
Consent.
It's a,
okay.
It's
just write
a couple sentences.
Just a quick blurb, but
and these are
I'll
things
take care
that
of for
they've
you.
Been doing for years.
Go on, one of these days, one of these days, you're going to have to come in and fill in for me, Nate.
Dan's
gone for a couple weeks.
I don't think I can fill those shoes.
Nate, you're in. Fill it in for Mr. Dio.
You wouldn't want the pay cut.
I don't think so.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
I couldn't earn what he does. I guarantee that. I'm happy where I am.
Are you going to be at LIPSC today? At 2?
It's on my calendar because I learned that the meeting was today. I don't know. I don't have a nexus to LIPSC. I don't supervise.
You want me there?
On for it.
Okay.
This afternoon should be kind of free. He has to. I don't know.
The
agenda is kind of shallow on LIPSC. There's really LIPSC. There's not really much there.
Mm.
Is there?
No, it's pretty rich today.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Agenda approval minutes?
Give me an agenda. Could you fire that over?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and I'll let me see what we're doing there because you know, we've got that thing starting at 4 o'clock. So how long does it take?
Well, we're going to...
if it's going to be a long
meeting... No, we're going to advise everybody because most everybody has to be at the state of the county address anyhow. So we're going to try to get done by 3:30 so everybody can...
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Because you know, that means you're driving right out there and picking up the microphone.
Right.
Well, he's a star. He can do that. You know, no problem.
Commissioner DeYoung is he is a star.
He is a star.
Knock it off. Am I getting set up here, Larry? I think I'm getting set up here. Okay.
I'll provide you the agenda.
Okay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Thank
let
you.
Me know, and I'll see what we're looking at, Seth.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners.
Item two: quarterly department updates. 2A is airports. Larry Graves to do the presentation.
Very short. Nothing going on out there.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to let you know what is important and what's going on, at least in my world. So, this Southern Oregon Air Academy, I'm very excited about. I am a product of a program that's an organized, youth education program that encouraged people to seek careers in aviation. And I know how powerful that can be. I only wish that I had been exposed to the one I got involved in when I was in junior high school. I had no clue
until I was in my 20s what the possibilities might be. And I think that's the wonderful thing about Southern Oregon Air Academy, which I think has huge potential for having a bunch of kids go to school here, go become commercial pilots, and be able to stay here and live here and work in the community as commercial pilots. I think it's great stuff. So that's just the first of a list of accomplishments that we've achieved here in the last quarter. The new instrument approach was finally published at Grants Pass Airport, and someone found a typo in it, so it was immediately canceled. And the FAA is going to be revising that and then republishing it. So,
how long does it take for them to do that? Because we talked about the other night at the board meeting.
My first correspondence with them about a new instrument approach was in 2012.
So it could be years before they make that correction?
5 years, and I've been pushing hard the entire time. Oh, not the correction, just the approach. Just the approach itself. Oh, the correction of the typo?
But the correction
Sorry.
Of the typo, is that...
I misunderstood.
I mean, you know, you
next
said
month.
They dropped it. They said, well, we're just going to pull the whole thing.
Next
do
month.
Did they just change 300 to 30?
Yeah.
And then send it back out,
in
now
fact,
we're back in business.
Yeah, okay. They'll be changing 2580 to 2280. That was the problem that they had in the published. And it's funny because, you know, with all the time and trouble that everyone puts into these things, how it got that far and then got published is anybody's guess. So our new parallel taxiway is complete, big safety upgrade, and it does open up the all along Flaming Road for now development at the airport, which is huge. And if we'd had this in place 5 years ago, we'd probably have that whole thing completely filled by now. Yeah, we had people ready to build back then. Now I'm going to go find those people again and see if we can get them going.
Is there a ribbon cutting ceremony for that or something? Commissioner DeYoung would love to get out there with big scissors and, you know, let your... You're the liaison. That's just chairman. She should be out there and get
you know,
pictures.
I would love that.
It's a $1 million project.
We're going to officially close out that grant. It'll be officially closed as soon as we get our final paint striping on there and with, you know, that kind of thing. We'll do it up.
Well, let's set this up with my agent.
Yeah.
I'll my booking agent.
Your marketing agent.
I'll have my people call your people and we'll figure something out.
Great. Let's do lunch.
Well, the chamber greeters, they love to have the people out there and take
a
photo,
a
and it needs to be in the paper.
I think it's a big deal. I agree on
it. Is that okay with you?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's great.
No.
And by the way, I'll backtrack just a second at the risk of extending. There's going to be a very big event at the airport on March 15th. And the Alaska Horizon Group, Pilot Development, you met Lamar Hagen and a company. They will be making a presentation to the 14 school districts in Klamath, Jackson, and Josephine County to students and parents about a new program that a new contract they're going to sign. It's almost signed. It's not signed yet, but we expect it will be between the Alaska Horizon Group and Pacific Aviation to provide flight instruction. And they will provide a stipend to the students toward their commercial pilot certificate and or their commercial flight instructor certificate. And then the students will agree to stay at Pacific and flight instruct for 2 years, after which they have a guaranteed interview with Horizon Airlines for a commercial pilot job. And for Alaska Horizon to be encouraging that to the extent that they're willing to put, you know, skin in the game on a per-kid basis is really something. And they did this directly as a result of their visit here several months ago and participation in the Southern Oregon Air Academy. It's a really big deal.
I brought up at one time, and I don't know if this fits in, but for instance, when I went in the military, if I came out of boot camp, I was an E-2. But if I had any kind of education whatsoever, I came out as an E-3.
Yes.
And because it's flight, the military has a whole, you know, the Navy, for instance, you become out as a green stripes, you're aviation. Mm-hmm. Red stripes, mm-hmm. you're engineering. Blue stripes, you're a seaman. Construction, and white, you're a seaman.
Sure.
So, you know, is there an element to where they come out, these young kids come out, and if they do choose a military career,
mm-hmm.
That would be, what do you call it, a stipend?
Yeah.
What is it? With credit towards the aviation element, as they go into the Navy, they say, yeah, I've been through this. I'm 5 hours away from getting my pilot's license, or I have my pilot's license.
You know, that's a great idea. I don't know if this program does not necessarily address the potential service element of it. But
I just thought it might be a draw to a young person saying, I think I want to be a pilot, but you know what? I want to take this to the next higher level and be a helicopter pilot or whatever.
Right.
Junior ROTC programs provide that. And so if there was a dovetail, the Illinois Valley used to have one. I don't know if they do anymore, but that's the partnership that would be, taken advantage of there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we have published the last week of January a request for qualifications for a master planning civil engineering firm. Those responses are due into the commissioner's office here on Thursday, the 22nd of February. At 2 p.m. I'll be enlisting my airport advisory boards and Rob Brandis and a few folks in evaluating the responses that we get, and then I'll make a choice of...
What day was that, the 22nd?
22nd. I think it's a Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
We also need to put it on the board's calendar that we're open.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I copied Wendy and Ricky just to make sure that you were aware that I had done that, I probably should have called you.
You did a great job as far as like not picking 5 o'clock on Friday. Those days where it's like, we're going to be open at 2 o'clock on Thursday for sure.
Yeah, hopefully. that was done deliberately, yes.
Good.
So that's exciting because we're going to be using our entitlement funds, which have accumulated over the last 3 years, and we're looking at about a $450,000 grant from the FAA to get this master plan update done. And the reason why it's critically important is because the FAA's made this a prerequisite for runway extension. And so hopefully this evaluation, it's a feasibility study, it's an aerial survey, it's an environmental survey, as well as an airport layout plan update. We're going to incorporate all the foreseeable things that we can think of that may happen at that airport in the next 20 years and incorporate them in this airport layout plan, which the FAA then approves. And it's the only part of a master plan that they actually have to approve. And they'll kick it back if they see something they don't like. So there's a little bit of politics involved in all that.
Do they make suggestions of stuff that, you really need to look at this because do they give you or...
They do, and it's better if I call them and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing. Do you have some advice for me going forward? And I call Valerie Thorson and Jason Ritchie and Matt Wilder and all these people up there. Yes.
So put those in there.
Yes, yes. And
he put the last one to bed just like 6 years ago.
Yes.
So it's not like it's his first rodeo, even with this one. And usually these plans should last a little bit longer. Larry's doing so much out at the airport, it's like, that one's done, let's go for the next one.
Yeah, we've superseded most of what was in the last plan
already.
Yeah,
you've run through a lot of stuff in there.
We have a lot of pen and ink changes, so to speak, to the airport layout plan, so they want to capture that. And they're also, frankly, I believe that it's a little bit of a stalling tactic on the part of the FAA because they don't want everyone to get ahead of themselves and be spending all this money and then not have it be really well thought out. So they're imposing this discipline on Josephine County to make sure that they're okay with our plans to extend the runway out to 5,500 feet, et cetera, et cetera. So I think they're being as cooperative as we could hope for, and the state of Oregon may actually kick in some additional money. The Oregon Department of Aviation, I've had discussions with Jeff Keynes and Heather Peck up there about this, in case the scope of the job, once we pick the engineering firm, this is a little bit of an interesting procurement. We ask for qualifications, we choose the company without any money being discussed at all, okay? And then they scope out the whole job, present a package, a schedule, and a cost, and then I have to go negotiate that with the FAA, who is going to pay for most of this. So, and that's...
Cumbersome.
It's cumbersome, and they take their time to review these things, and I'm calling them every week or two and trying not to be too much of a pest, but... So I want to get this done, and then I want to go to the second phase, which will be the environmental and the engineering design for that runway extension. So that's why this is so important. It's just one more step along the way toward getting what we really need out there. We have a $2 million electrical upgrade construction happening right now.
Another opportunity for a ribbon cutting.
What's that?
Another opportunity for a ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
For sure.
That could be really cool. In fact, you could cut the ribbon in an airplane. I would like to see that.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Stretch that ribbon across the runway and just have Commissioner DeYoung fly right through it. That would be
right
pretty cool.
The big gold scissors.
Right out.
We'll use a propeller though, but yeah. Okay. Big upgrade for the Illinois Valley Airport. The infrastructure out there.
We need to take advantage of these positives every chance we
can. Oh
get.
Yeah.
This thing we're doing at 4 o'clock is the beginning of leaning into all of the positive stuff. This is not chump change. I mean, they've been wanting this for 20 years out there. The old system was old when they put it in. Literally. I mean, they want this stuff. It's great.
Yeah.
And when Larry's out front on it, it wouldn't have happened. I mean, it would not have happened.
And Illinois Valley, is constantly growing about, oh, nothing ever happens out here. Look at what all we've done in the Illinois Valley. And now we're moving out, just with, the guardrails and turnouts and everything going out Berlin. Mm-hmm. We're really starting to reach out to our communities, and I think that's great.
I hear you. I mean, I like the marketing aspect of just community awareness and opportunities. That's why there hadn't been an airport day in a decade, and I've done one every year. This is really important, and we get, several thousand people come out. Last year was attenuated by the smoke. You couldn't see more than a mile. It was really disappointing.
Yeah,
but I mean,
my wife's car didn't look pretty good at all.
We had thousands of people, thousands of people that come out to that airport. And I talk with them. I'm just kind of running around on my bicycle, hey, I didn't even know we had an airport out here. This is pretty cool, I hear that a lot. And so anyway, I understand your desire for the marketing and I will pursue that.
I agree.
Okay. We've got, I can just say, okay, we've got all these wonderful things. Here's the significant issue that I really would love to have a continuing discussion with the commissioners and with finance and with economic development until we come up with what I call a structural fix for this issue. It isn't going to be the same story every single year because we've had this extraordinary good fortune in the last 2 years to bring in more than $6 million worth of federal and state grants. But those, and you don't want to say no to those. We have a demonstrated need. There's safety issues. There's economic development issues. And we can bring in $96 for every dollar we invest, for capital infrastructure that pushes forward the economy here in Josephine County. But the requirement has been so far to, bottom line, fund those match requirements out of operating money. And I don't have enough operating revenue to operate the airports just, without grant match. And so I think, and I would love to continue this discussion and convince the commissioners that there is a need for an ongoing mechanism so that when we are very fortunate and have brought in some capital grants that we can depend on looking at every resource available, whether it's lottery dollars or Business Oregon or infrastructure finance or whatever it might be, to bring in dedicated capital money as opposed to pulling it out of our operating budget.
You don't have to sell me, Larry.
Yeah.
It's right over there. And the only person in the room responsible for solving that problem is right there, and he hasn't done it. No, we actually.
Well, he's working on it.
We have. Yeah. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
He's working on it, and we have a plan.
Good.
We have a plan.
Good. Well, I want to, and we'll continue that discussion later today, too. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
We have heard it, and we need it. And what dawned on me the other day is I was thinking about economic development, and you struggle with it, I struggle with it. But I don't struggle when I go into a local contractor's office and I'm buying 10 yards of gravel, and we're chatting about stuff, and I go upstairs and I look at his work board.
Yeah.
7 out of 10 things on there are at the airport.
Yep.
How many people does he have working for him? And they're local contractors. The challenge is that, you can't guarantee that these contracts are going to happen locally, and they don't always sub to people. I don't care what they say. When ODOT comes over here and says, oh, this will bring jobs into... No, it won't. there wasn't people working on that, you know, overpass and
all the
stuff like that. No, no, no.
Transit. Yep.
I know exactly
not from here.
Who was working. They I could were, see the like
union transit workers.
Yeah.
And so we were supposed to get, you know, lunchtime breaks and burgers that they were going to buy downtown on this $20 million overpass, passing lane deal. That isn't what happened. And so I like your projects because they're tailored for our size. They're not $20 million overpass projects. So,
well, I hope I get a $20 million project one of these days.
Round
but yeah,
egg,
yeah.
Round hole, yeah. And you don't need to convince me anymore.
Now, this five-year capital plan that I attached to the back of my update, I presented this to the commissioners over a year ago.
Oh, sure.
Okay? And the number here, the match required, was way over $500,000. It was, I don't know, $700,000, something like that, for the foreseeable future at that point. Since then, I went out and got five of these core grants, four of which were dedicated for AIP match, and have brought that number down to this 287 or 285, depending on what day you're sharpening your pencil. But as I say, all things being equal, nothing changing, I've got to pay that out of operating budget, and that's just
not okay.
Yeah, not okay. So we're making big strides in reducing that obligation, and I'm trying to get it as low as possible before the county needs to decide to burn up, you know, economic development money or whatever.
So I think this board should make a commitment to you, Larry, that before the end of the fiscal year, we will have a solution to come up with. That
awesome.
$300,000 that you need.
With the caveat that we're going to fix all of this and we're going to get this stuff going, but I don't want to end up with this same.
Well, that's what I mean by,
I
want to put a
year.
Mechanism. I agree with you.
Well, there,
but
there
we should have a mechanism in place.
There is a point of you don't need to extend a runway again, or you don't need
exactly.
to do an east side taxiway. You don't
projects.
Need to build hangars. You know, there are always going to be capital improvements necessary at the airport, but your list is getting shorter and shorter every time you do the generators, every time you do the fueling station, whatever
it
is.
Checking those boxes off, and that's
you don't have.
But there's also the bigger thing on the line that says, okay, over on Flaming Road, when you're going to put in these airplay hangars and whatnot, do we want to build the hangar and then receive the money back for it, or do we just want to sell at least the land and have somebody put their own hangar in there and not have to pay anybody? So those are things that we need to look at going forward.
You bet.
But for right now, I think we're committing to clear this thing up and get these. You've got 6.9.
You haven't acted as though you've been inhibited by this because you've been going after them. All evidence to the contrary, but I know it is something in the back of your mind. But what I'd like to commit to you from my perspective as this commissioner is you should not act as that is a restriction at all. There isn't a grant that you shouldn't approach. That's not your job. We'll find the funds. That's his job. It's his job, and I'm going to champion it with everything I can do in my mind to come up with those answers. And I think we've got a couple that are going to work really, really well.
Excellent.
So,
okay. Well, thank you so much.
The resources will be there.
This commissioner feels that the airport is a good investment.
Yeah. The resources will be there.
Super good investment.
Okay.
I just found another one.
Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. I have some extra copies. Anyone need paper copies, or are we okay?
I think we're good.
Okay.
Did you get a copy of
it? You had a recommendation for an applicant. Why don't we address that, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, that's under matters.
Are we but while he's here, you're okay with your applicant?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Let's skip down to 5D, matters for commissioners real quick. Resolution number 2018-006 in the matter of an appointment for the Grants Pass Airport Advisory Board. Tyler Flaming.
Yep.
And
He pronounces it Flaming.
Okay.
Yeah.
His family is the Flaming Road. Flaming.
It is.
Yeah. Sounds good.
That's kind of neat.
I mean, he's been attending meetings.
Is there Flaming Road's named after his family?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
he grew up right across right across from my office on the runway.
Okay. All right. I thought you got off the boat and knew everything.
Yeah.
All that.
Well,
When I talked about the boat, I meant Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
The big boat.
Yeah,
the big log.
Yeah. I think
Noah got the ark and I got a log out in the Pacific.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he would be great.
He's
a thinker.
And he's on the city council, and it's really good to have
that connection.
Yeah, you bet.
Really good.
Yeah. Okay, so we will move that to consent?
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Great. So
we've got another one in the wings, too. Another really good guy. Retired Boeing flight test engineer.
Wow.
Local nice. Resident.
Okay, do we
really
have another opening
guy.
Coming up fairly soon?
Yeah, in the summer, I believe. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yep. I'm trying to put good people in the wings, you know, so to speak.
Okay, so we're done with two.
Great.
Thank you
so much,
Larry. Item number three is finance report business update from Arthur O'Hare, finance director. And Arthur knows how to clear a room, don't you, Arthur? Started out with a full room, and now we're down to an audience of one.
Oh, just wait till my state of the county presentation.
Are you getting sick, too?
This morning, in between getting leaving the house and getting to here, it's just kind of like...
interesting presentations.
It's probably the weight of the state of the county that's bothering me. Impairing my immune system. The one thing that I have is the project management for North Valley Wastewater Project. And last year, the board instructed me to make arrangements to meet with the various potential vendors for this project. So working with our Public Works Director, we identified some potential folks who might work for that. We set up meetings. The first meeting was in December. The second meeting was in January with vendors. A third vendor we've contacted a couple of times and have not had a response from. The response was, let me think about it, but we did not get a response that they wanted to participate. So at this point, we've satisfied the requirements of our contract rules. We've made the attempt to work with three folks. The meetings we had, the airport director, the community development director, public works director, myself, Commissioner Hare, were met with these two potential vendors, and the general consensus was
the
that...
The challenge is I don't know that we have general consensus.
I talked to...
Have you talked to everybody?
I talked to everybody, and the feeling was that the Mall Foster had a better approach and a better concept of what we're looking for and what the project required.
I just wanted to make sure that everybody felt that way because I hadn't had that conversation. I feel confident that there was a read in the room that felt mm-hmm. as though that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want it to be, I mean, their opinion matters. In fact, they're going to be working with this contractor
right.
long after I'm gone, so it's really important that they have buy-in.
I don't have anything. I didn't get a formal written response from folks, but just the like.
It was
you
an
said,
ad hoc
that,
group of people
yeah.
who will be involved in this process
yes.
for the next 2 or 3 years, and it was just really important that they feel as though this is they're mm-hmm. comfortable. You and I have worked with them for 3 or 4 years now. We feel comfortable, but they needed to because you know that's who's mm-hmm. going to be running the project, like the core team. It's going to be meeting with the contractor on a regular basis. So,
right.
as long as we're all on the same page and we're making that recommendation,
this project will be, you know, it'll be a while in the development and in the making. So, not to remind anybody, but you know, you may have moved on with your career, but we'll still be here and have to work with these folks for the next couple few years.
I think they're going to be great, and we'll be well served.
I think that's so. That's the main piece that I wanted to bring forward, that's the recommendation. So I would like, if appropriate, if you agree to direction from the board to go ahead and contact the vendor and make arrangements to come up with a contract. And then, of course, the contract itself will come back to the board
for
final
that.
Approval.
Yeah. Okay, agreement.
No formal action. They'll work out a contract, and then that's when everybody and Commissioner Morgan will be brought up to speed and all of that.
And that's the main thing that I brought today to discuss.
When
unless you have questions.
The budget process, the timeline. We need to talk about what our budget directives are, so that if people are looking to make a 2-year budget, they have more time to come up with that. I don't think that it's so. If it took you, Larry, 2 weeks to do his budget last time. It's not going to take him 4. It's going to take him 3.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He needs to account for that and all the time and stuff that he's doing in the spring.
Where are we at in going to a biennial on that? Is that something we want to do starting this year? Is it what's
my thinking it? on the steps is that I need to contact each of the department directors, put together some parameters or some context of what we're talking about, and then get feedback from the directors themselves. Yeah. As to their initial reaction to that, good or bad or otherwise, you know, what are your thoughts and feelings on that?
Is that a charter thing?
No. I don't believe so. No, I think because we're either way, we would be in compliance with both the charter and with Oregon budget law.
Yeah, we're not going to deviate from that. They'll have an annual audit, and everything will almost operate on an annual perspective. Except the vision for what you're doing in your program for 2 years will be kind of solidified. Not that it can't change. It changes in a year, let alone two. Yeah. But I think there'd be some shared vision about where we're going and some stability assigned associated with that.
It's like a road grader. The longer the road grader, the smoother the road you get.
Yeah.
So maybe that's...
Well, and there's some real advantages in that. Long-range planning and the two-year budget would bring us. I'll have to admit I do have some hesitation on my part. It's a big lift where last year I had the budget memo out on February 4th and today is February 8th, so I'm a little behind the curve on getting out the budget memo. I know, what have I been? I don't know what I've been doing. So it's, so I'm a little bit behind the curve. I think we've got a little more breathing room because
we're not waiting for a levy
or some, you know. So I think we've got the opportunity to look at longer term.
There's still room in the agenda, but it needs to be done.
It needs to happen real quick.
It needs to be
quick.
Done like next week.
If we're going to point in that direction, the sooner the better.
But like I said, I want the first step. I need to get the feedback to see, and I need to put that context together. So,
well, I appreciate that there's people that are receptive and can see the positives. It was just a suggestion, a thought that I had. If we get to a point where, you know what, it's in the one program that I can see where it would be challenging is Larry's. Larry's is going to be the most challenging, I would say, about the projects and the grant. Stuff that could come in that would be like, I have no idea. But at the same time, his operating budget is so tight, his ability to manage outside of that margin is pretty tight. It is what it is right now until we introduce new revenue streams for him. So it's
but
like,
haven't we demonstrated that that's a little bit liquid anyway?
Oh, it is. A budget is a goal. People think it's
cast in stone because, you know,
it's
you're
not cast in stone at all.
You think you're saving for Disneyland, but if something else comes up, you're not saving for Disneyland anymore.
Forestry would be the other anomaly. It could, you know, it could have a fat forest fire. It could be up and down.
Yeah.
But it's also on a trajectory. We were laying out timber sales last year for this coming year. You know, so they're laying out timber sales for next year about what they're going to do right now in a couple years down.
But it's probably going to be like it's by what do you call it? Bi-monthly payroll.
Yeah, bi-weekly.
You're going to get. Both sides. Some people are going to think it's the worst thing that ever happened, and other ones are just going to welcome it with open arms.
Well, so we'll have to address some of those issues, those open-ended questions, and I'll bring that back to the board. Why don't we just try to make a next week, next Thursday, that I'll bring back to the board what I've been able to garner from the folks.
Okay. I think we should have a general discussion on budget, and that be one of them. Because we do, I would like to have the discussion ready to go to assign. Is anybody scheduled on that general discussion on Thursday the 15th?
Thursday.
For square footage, we've got all of the things, the rates for stuff, so that we could give you budget directives and you can send them out, you know, write your whole letter, have it ready to go on Friday, you know, and plug and chug the square foot, you know, the stuff that we need to put in there.
Perfect.
So that people know. And I don't, you know, the difference between doing a 1 and 2 year budget, if we get through this and somebody comes up with an unsolvable problem part of the way through it, you can regress, you know, back. It's like a non-binding question. You can right. pull it up right. until the adoption, but you can't do it after you started and say, oh, by the way, in beginning of May, we'd like you to do a 2-year budget.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. But you know what I mean?
No, it has to be done up front.
It has to be done up front. And if you feel as though it can't be done yeah. for some reason, you can pull yeah. it and say, nope, we're just going to do a 1-year. Okay, everybody breathes a sigh of relief. But like I said, you can't in May say, oh, we're going to do it.
And I think as we've discussed, is that the fact that we can even give this some consideration
it
illustrates that we've made a lot of progress. Fact that we can even discuss
things are a lot more solid than they used to be.
Right, right, and we know okay. where we're going to be at in the next couple.
So
of years.
So on the 15th, you were going to bring this back. On
yes,
the 15th?
I will. I think that's a great okay. time. Yeah, for budget.
This is part of that.
This is
okay. Okay. Anything else for finance?
No, that's
don't.
This is what I. that's what I brought. Yes.
Okay.
Unless you have questions.
Do you have any other
questions? Those are great. Those are great things.
Nothing further. Thank you, Arthur.
Thanks.
Good to see you this afternoon.
Yes.
I'm going to be waiting to hear what you have to say.
Oh, man. You won't be disappointed. Be
okay. All right. Other business? Anything else that should come before the board?
No, I think we've got an executive session in 15 minutes and some other stuff to work through. So if we did board business, then if we had time for stuff. But I wouldn't mind 5 minutes.
Okay. So... let's see, we've got...
Nice job.
Let's go to board business, so 5A.
On time today, sir.
And that will be Julie. This is resolution number 2018-0003 in the matter of an appointment to the Community Economic Development Committee. And I believe your recommendation, do you have a recommendation?
We have a Kleenex stamp.
James...
thank you. With the Community Economic Development Committee, we needed to appoint a farmer. There's okay. different categories, and we haven't been able to appoint a farmer from unincorporated.
Natural resources.
Natural resources. You're right. It was going to be agriculture at first, and then we switched it to natural resources. And we did have somebody apply for it. Ricky did share the names with me, and I thought it, Jim...
Armstrong. Do you know this
James
person?
I've met Jim. I've talked to him about a subdivision he wants to develop. And then
we're talking about different Jim Armstrongs then.
Oh, okay. And then I did invite him to come sit in at a meeting one day to see if it's something he was interested in.
Good.
I would say he's maybe about 70 years old. I based on his resume, he seemed very qualified.
Age doesn't
matter.
No, I'm just trying to, you know...
Well, if you feel comfortable, that'd be great. And so how long? Seems like a year appointment or two.
It's a 2-year appointment, I
great.
Think. Is that correct?
I think you're right.
Three years? Okay.
Sounds great.
Three, and then they stagger over time. Yeah. So.
Okay, I'm comfortable with that
one. So you're comfortable with James Armstrong. And then B, resolution in the matter of appointment, resolution number 2018-004 in the matter of appointment to the Rural Planning Commission. We'll move A forward to the consent calendar.
Okay.
And then who do we have here?
And then on B with the Rural Planning Commission, we had our chair, Margaret Goodwin, step down. And we also have an alternate, so we have to fill that. Plus we have an alternate position we have to fill.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a challenge on that one because we did have someone with planning experience step forward. She was on Plan Commission before, and she does like dietary management. We're looking for a project management type position for that role, but we didn't have anyone. But we did have this woman who had done dietary management and had sat on Plan Commissions before. Terry is her name, or Teresa.
Teresa.
So she's the one that was recommended to have the appointment of Margaret Goodwin. And then for the alternate... it is a...
Stephanie McBrayer?
Yeah, which is a land use consultant, which I personally have challenges with because I think that's a conflict of interest.
I really kind of see both of these as having challenges as far as being the right people for the mix and representing the county well, and I would rather have openings than make appointments that are not in the best interest of the community. So I'm going to have hesitations on both of these. And I have already asked for time to evaluate these people. And by sheer virtue that I'm doing it again, I think I'm going to say that I'm not in favor and just say that. And so liaison to the program, it's really incumbent. There's a couple of things that I want to talk about. You've got proposals for ADUs, and you shared some emails. I'm just going to give a quick example of how there might be some inconsistent state laws with Department of Environmental Quality who object to what we want to do here from a land use perspective, and I don't care. I don't care, and I don't mind saying that, from a standpoint that you're having DEQ, EPA violations out there right now that agency isn't addressing, and we're trying to be proactive about leaning into a situation of a housing crisis, and they're saying, I don't care that it's approved for 4 occupants, 4 bedrooms. We're only going to give you 3, and we won't give you the inability to do an ADU that would have a 1-bedroom, same square footage, blah, blah, blah. Then I don't care. We're going to do it. But what I don't want is a planning commission that's going to be predisposed to regulate and undermine an objective of the county. It undermines where we want to go. And when we get there to the Land Use Board of Appeals, and I have a rural planning commission that isn't leaning into that issue and trying to solve it from that perspective, that's undermining the board's objective. If my objective is shared. Right. I'm tired of land use laws at the state level that work for Multnomah, Washington County, and they can object to it and get out of it whenever they want, but the rest of the state can't do the same. That's not fair, and it's not working for me anymore. So
you want to hold these two? You want 004 to just table that for reevaluation? Or you want to
hold
deny
it.
These?
Yeah, just hold it for reevaluation.
Let's hold it. Okay, so 004 is on hold.
I think that we should set a precedent of doing interviews for the Rural Planning Commission. It's probably our most important appointments.
I agree.
And in the past, when we've known the applicant pool, we've selected who the board felt from that group on its own without, but we used to interview. And I don't mind coming back to that. I think it's worth it. I think it's worth it to do that. And so,
what kind of time frame are we looking at here? When's our next big?
The housing stuff is the next big one.
She's got some stuff.
I was hoping to send that off to DLCD. You know, I have to do a 35-day notice. I was hoping to do that last week, and I ran into this problem now with DEQ that Simon is referencing.
Do you have anybody else in the wings? Any other applicants other than these two?
No, we don't. These have been out there for a while. We've had vacancies.
Why didn't you mention it at the State of the County? There's 4,400 people that have tuned into this element and will be archived. We need to do a better job of advertising. And I'm okay if we invest a little bit of money in the sneak preview or something like that. That might be another avenue where we can reach people.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do that before we take people that may not share, that could be great applicants, and I'm not saying that either of them isn't. They just have to fit within the scope of what the community is trying to address here. So.
Okay, I agree.
In short, Commissioner, we often have vacancies on there, so it's okay. It's okay.
I just didn't know we were getting down to being without a quorum.
So far, we've been lucky. We usually call ahead to make sure we have a quorum before we meet.
Okay, all right, good. All right, so then we'll put B on hold. Moving along to 5C, resolution number 2018-005 in the matter of appointment to the Special Transportation Advisory Committee.
Sounds good to me.
I don't know who we have on that one.
Resume.
Chris Gerlitz, I think, and then I think.
I know Chris, yeah.
Yeah, I think. Rob Brandis and I talked about this, and he was in support of Chris Gerlitz, so
perfect.
We'll move that one forward. D, matters of commissioners, we've already handled that.
I just have a letter. We all received a letter from Judge Baker. There's an issue with the court security and the testing that we did. There's a court security meeting on the 15th. I'm going to be working with Mr. Johnson, who's our facility director, on addressing these issues between now and then, and I've asked him to come in probably on that admin the morning of the 15th. That meeting isn't until the afternoon, so we'll be able to address and make sure that the board is...
I got a call into Ryan right now about that, and Mr. Johnson, you take care
I'll
of you,
handle
you're on that,
and,
so...
We'll get some answers and solutions.
Well, the judge knows that we received it loud and clear.
What I'd like to see is that the board has a prepared statement to issue to the court security issue on that Thursday that, you know, Ryan and Commissioner Morgan can carry.
The one issue she had out at the jail, I'd like a solution on that.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be, it's not as easy as it would you
right.
would think.
But we need options.
I think Ryan's looking into it with the sheriff about what are the best practices out there and stuff. So
okay, all right. Well, just
hopefully that's underway.
Anything else?
I think we're good.
And we're going into executive session at 11. You want to take a short break?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yep, let's take a short break, and we'll come back.
I need to take some emergency.
Pat, we'll come back at 11 o'clock.
Okay. So we're going to quick talk about the budget.
We